isolated any longer. We have to begin communicating. The daycare center is a very important place here. Some real problems, I find some real problems with actually what is going on here in daycare, and that parents are not getting back from the federal government their tax dollars for educational purposes for their children. And you may have fallen into the same pattern as happened in New York City for 20 years, that daycare was considered a custodial service rather than an educational service. And children were being programmed rather than helped to be developed. And so by the time they got to the first grade, they knew that they had to hold up their hands to get their bowels change. You have to be excused to go to a bathroom. I mean, someone programs your very inside. The educational system is practically the death of all of us unless we change it, because it is keeping us in the market for cheap labor. Unless we change it, and unless it's controlled by us, unless we use our tax dollars for our education and our children's education, who are we giving it to? Who is it that is supposed to be educated with the tax dollars that they're taking every year or from us, or every month, every week, for education? So in New York, as chairwoman of the Committee for Community Controlled Child Care, we stress the fact that parents should not pay twice for education, any kind, whether it's early childhood development or university. Private daycare centers have tended to continue racism, sexism, and classism. Children in our daycare center feel very free to explore each other's body, look at each other. The girls have not had any hang-ups about building cars or blocks, nailing nails. The boys have not had any hang-ups about playing with dolls. The dolls that we have in the daycare center are not shaven down and smooth everywhere. It's really sad to have a child, a little boy baby, look at a doll that's supposed to be a male doll or a female doll and see this flat front when neither one of them are, you know. And so there are a lot of things wrong with how we begin child development, how we begin development for ourselves. And so I have a feeling that a lot of us, all of us, really have to stop and figure out who we are and how we can, you know, change our conditioning. We are all conditioned. Women are conditioned to believe that they can only be nurses, or to believe that their identity rests with a man. I mean, those are conditionings that we should not give off to our children. Yet we have three-year-old children coming into the daycare centers as beginners with lots of problems about only being able to be a nurse if you're a woman, if it's a female. A number of problems, like real heavy problems. And we feel that you cannot isolate the educational system then from the parents or the community. Because most children, where I come from anyway, learn much faster from each other. A four-year-old can teach a two-year-old much faster than I can, because I'm so far away from them. I'm tall, you know. And the four-year-olds didn't have a degree. So we have to think of education and the benefits from education not based on what has been, quote, a qualification. For education, for teaching or something. Everybody is a teacher, we believe, and it's what they're teaching that's important. We get negative teaching. Our children are learning from pushers every day. Our children are learning from landlords every day, the storekeepers. They're learning how to exploit fast. They're learning how to relate to oppression fast. Those who are learning to be oppressors learn that fast. And those who are oppressed learn how to survive. So if we use the system under which we live, the scope of the system, and the small systems within it as the scope of our education, then children will be able to survive, and children will, in fact, probably lead the world, all of us, out of this kind of trouble. One of the reasons I believe that children will probably lead us now is because we've had the need to organize and to have direct action in everything we do. And so our children necessarily has to know what's going on because we're not isolating them from the community or what is education. So they go with us. The only reason that we women are now not being beaten over the head or locked up every time we go out to protest is because the police stations don't know what to do with children. I mean, the police don't know how to handle them. And so we take our babies, and if they say that they're going to arrest us for doing something human for ourselves, caring about ourselves, we just tie babies with a belt to us and say that you have to take us all. Now, 300 babies in a police station is is too much for them to deal with, and so we win. And we feel good about ourselves, and we try not to go into anything that we can't win. There are a lot of other things that have happened in organizing. When I've had to talk with the mayor, the deputy mayor or someone that I really didn't know very well, and I wanted to know how they were, I mean, it's very easy to pick up the phone and call the Women's Action Alliance and say, what woman do you know who knows this man? And you can find out from a woman somewhere in the country how you can get to this person. You know, what are their vulnerable points? How can you weaken them when they control so much of your life? And I think teams of women have been able to do many more things together than we have been able to do them apart. It's just that it's hard for us to come together, really come together, until we begin to strip ourselves of the racism, sexism, and classism that we have. Since we want to have time for questions, I'll stop talking now, and I'd like, you know, very much to have questions on both daycare and, you know, women, the women's issue. And I'd just like to say that Gloria talking a long time is not always so, but this is the kind of audience that maybe you could stand to hear from a white person about racism, and maybe it's the first time, I don't know. But sometimes it does a little bit more when a white person talks about it than when I talk about it as a black person, because one, I can't change white racism. I found that out, and I hope that that's what the women's movement is pointing out, that white America is not free either, and that you can't join into a civil rights movement anymore and say I worked for your freedom and your dignity, because the freedom and dignity of both white women and those white men who are conscious of the system is at stake. I mean, it's never there. So we're all working for ourselves and our own freedom, and we would be a much stronger body if we could communicate with each other. Thank you.
Thank you. We've talked long enough. It's your turn. Yeah.
Two comments. First one, is yours?
Dorothy.
Okay. I have two kids that go to nursery school, and there are two black boys in their class.